your Bible, if you would, please find the second chapter of the book of the Revelation. I know that song wasn't written 2,000 years ago, but I think it would be fitting for the church in Thyatira. I think they would understand every word. They would understand every heartbeat. They would ever understand every pain, every burden, every trial. They would understand the position of that song. Our text this morning finds us once again in the book of the Revelation, finds us once again visiting this little church at Thyatira, this church that is one of the seven churches that's part of the vision that the Lord Jesus gave to John, this little church that fits within the description of the church age, this little tiny church that we really don't know how it got its beginning other than some assumption from the book of Acts with that lady Lydia who received the Lord. She was from this little city. She was one that was a seller of purple, which is what the little city was known for, its dye, its fragrance, its perfumes. It was a very fragrant place. Matter of fact, its name carries that within its meaning. It is possible that it is Lydia that brought the gospel back to the city of Thyatira. That's what most Bible scholars believe. And it's interesting, the power of the gospel, it works wherever it is taken. Wherever it is taken. And so as the Apostle Paul won Lydia to the Lord, and she brings the gospel back to her hometown, it springs forward and a church is built up there. And don't know a whole lot about this little church other than it had the attention of the Lord, other than the Lord knew this church. And it is to this little church in the book of the Revelation that the Lord Jesus gives the longest letter to. And we preached the first part of the letter last week, and I won't re-preach all of that for time's sake, but it's beautiful that it takes two lessons, because I want to pick up in verse number 24 as my text today. And verse number 24 begins with the word but, which is a conjunction and a contrasting word. And you find these first four words, or five words. But unto you I say. And I want to take those five words and use them as my springboard within our text here, because the Lord has transitioned in his letter at this part to give a word to the faithful remnant that is in this church at Thyatira. Last week, he addressed the false movement that was going on, the false doctrine that was in this church. And this week, he addresses the faithful remnant that are in the church. He gives a wonderful description so you know who they are. He says, but unto you, if you continue reading verse number 24, you will see that these are the rest that are in Thyatira. These are the folks that have not this doctrine, they've not submitted to the doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan. You find in verse number 26 that these are folks that are referred to as overcoming and overcomers. These are more individuals than they are a large part, for we believe that the vast majority of the church at Thyatira has faced seduction. You understand that from last week's message. But these are the folks that would be considered individual overcomers. These, the Lord Jesus is speaking to, the you here, if you look at verse number 29, are these individuals that hath an ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These are the folks that have a spiritual ear. They have taken what they have heard and they have applied it to their heart. They have believed upon what they have heard. These are the ones that have not known the depths of Satan, nor his doctrine. You will find, if you would look, please, at verse number 20, that there's been false doctrine that has been given into this church on a literal level with a woman. The Bible says in verse number 20 that notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman. The Lord gives her a name. It probably was not her given name, but it is the name that describes her character. It is a name that describes her motivation. For this woman, we believe to have been motivated by the depths of Satan. The Lord Jesus references that in verse number 24. And when the Lord Jesus wanted to describe this woman and her character and her activity and her works, he went all the way back to the history of the nation of Israel, and he went all the way back to the time of Ahab, and he went all the way back to a lady named Jezebel. You'll read about her in the book of the Kings, in 1 Kings, and you will find that she was a ruthless, evil woman. She was a woman that had tremendous abilities. She was persuasive. She was seductive. Yet her direction was an evil direction. She was married to a weak husband that she was able to manipulate and to motivate and to do basically what she wanted to do. And she led the nation in tremendous spiritual compromise, which led them into immorality and in fornication on a physical level, but it also led them in that direction on a spiritual level. And so the Lord Jesus has seen this woman in this church in Thyatira. And he says that you've suffered that woman. This is the accusation against the church. You've let this woman in there who is a self-proclaimed prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants, verse number 24, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, remember when we began the book of the Revelation, we told you that it's a literal book, but it's also symbolic. It's also prophetical. So in the church at Thyatira at this time, as the Lord Jesus is looking at this individual church, he sees tremendous seduction happening here. He sees it on a literal level. He sees it on a spiritual level. And on a literal level, there is a woman inside this church who's a self-proclaimed prophetess, leading folks away from the gospel according to the depths of Satan. On a prophetical level, he's dealing with false churches here. He's dealing with false doctrines here that have permeated inside true churches, and there's factions in there, and they're leading the servants of Christ away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus addresses this activity, verse number 22. He talks about what he's going to do to this woman. If you take it literally, and then of course if you take it what he's going to do to the false church, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, verse 22, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children or her disciples. He's not talking about her physical children. The Lord Jesus is not a murderer. And I will kill her children with death. Speaking of the judgment that he is going to do to this false church. Speaking of the judgment he's going to do to unrighteousness. Look at how severe this will be. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. God wants the church today to know that he is omniscient, which means he knows all things. That he's omnipotent, which means that he's all powerful. And that he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. And God wants you to know, he wants all the churches to know. And basically, if you reduce that English word down in verse number 23, when it gets to the reins, that God sees your kidney and your heart. What's it mean? I mean that God sees inside of you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your mind. He knows what's in your motivations. He knows the behavior that's public. He knows the behavior that's present. There is nothing that can be hid from God. Unfortunately, that thought does not terrorize people the way it should. But there will be a day we when everyone will stand before the Lord Jesus, whether you stand before him as the righteous judge against your sin, or you stand before him as a rewarder, as our Savior. And those books will be open. And my friends, when you lay your eyes on him in that moment, and you reckon that he knows all things, especially about you, you will, would to God, you had believed that in this present day. Jesus himself wanted to make sure that the church at Thyatira understood who is giving this little letter. Don't you remember? Go back, if you would, please, to verse 18 of chapter number 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith, would you say those four words, please? The Son of God. Earlier, he addressed him as the Son of Man. This is the only letter that he is addressed as the Son of God. Now watch the description here. Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Verse 19, those first two words, would you say them out loud? I know. I know. I know. And so as we looked last week at this letter from the Son of God to one of the seven churches that represent in their totality the church age, the things that are the second main point in the book of the Revelation. I told you from Acts 2 to the rapture of the church. I told you that you can take what has gone on in the church at Thyatira and there's present day application. I'm praying and I'm hoping as you see God both encourage and rebuke these churches, as you see how the churches have kind of drifted a little way from what the Lord Jesus, from their foundation, as you see what's going on inside of these churches, it will help you to understand what's going on apart in our world. I would submit to you that's what's going on outside in our world is directly related to what's going on inside of our churches. And we don't understand that. When I say churches, I don't just mean Baptist churches. I'm talking about anything that calls itself a church. There are true churches and there are false churches, and they bear those names. But when you take Christendom and you take all of the churches, you can go all the way back to the first church at Ephesus and see how there's been a loss of love. You can go back and see how there's been persecution. You can go all back and see how there's been compromise. And now we come to the church at Thyatira, and you see how there's been seduction. And this seduction happened literally, and this seduction happened when it came to false churches. But there is this sweet seduction away from the true gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible talks about it being a satanic seduction. And I believe that the evidence of that satanic seduction is the fact of the physical immorality and fornication that's brought about on it. Now, I'm going to preach a little bit about that tonight. So this is to the letter to the church at Thyatira. And the Son of God has communicated now his rebuke to those folks and his understanding. But the same Son of God, the Lord Jesus, that communicated to the false folks at Thyatira has also communicated to the faithful. Would you look at verse number 24, please? And this is where I want to spend my time today, preaching to the church of the Lord Jesus, preaching to those of us that would be found in this you here, those of us that have not plumbed the depth of Satan, those of us that believe upon the Lord, those of us that have an ear to hear. Look at verse number 24. At the end of that phrase, Jesus says this, I will put upon you, that he's talking about in verse 24, none other, would you say that word, please? Burden. And so here's what the Lord Jesus is in. Now he's addressed that woman Jezebel. He's addressed that direction. He's addressed what's going on. Now he turns his attention to the faithful. And he says to them, listen, I understand you're under a burden in what is going on. I understand that there's a crushing in your heart. I understand that there's a heaviness there. I understand that you see the way things are going. And so the Lord Jesus here addresses them and says to them, I'm not going to put on you any other burden other than what you already have. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 25. But that which ye have already, now read those five words out loud, hold fast till I come. All right, so the Lord Jesus, is encouraging this faithful remnant at the church in Thyatira. And he's encouraging them and letting them know that I know what's going on. He's speaking to the person who loves the Lord, who's been born again, to the person that's staying true to the word of God. He says, listen, I know you see what's going on in the church movement. I know you see how that's being seduced away from me. I understand that that is a burden upon you. I know that you're broken. And I find that to be true in churches today. We look at what's going on in the church world. We look at what's going on even in some of our family members that go to non-believing churches or go to different types of churches. And you see a seduction away from the authority of the word of God. Anywhere you see a seduction away from the Lord Jesus, that breaks the heart of God's people. It ought to break the heart of God's people. And so the Lord Jesus is here, and he lets them know that I'm not going to put any other burden on you, but here is my expectation. My expectation of you, faithful, in Thyatira, is that you hold fast what you are doing till I come. Now, I would submit to you, those of us that know the Lord, those of us that want to honor and obey and live for the Lord, those of us that have a relationship with the Lord, this is the same admonition that's still for the church of the Lord Jesus today. Pastor, with all the craziness in the world, what does God expect of me? I appreciate that question. I appreciate that question, and I want to deal with that as far as what does God expect with you. When we talked about individual relationships, when you read about these seven churches here, there's a macro address, there's a micro address. The Lord Jesus addresses the church as a whole, but he also addresses individuals. Now, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, you must understand what's going to happen inside churches and what's going to happen outside in the world. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, you're going to find more of a pull, more of a seduction, more of a drifting away from the authority of the word of God. You're going to find that Jesus was right. By the way, he's always right. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. The call for ecumenicalism in our nation is strong and roaring. What does that mean? Turn on your Christian radio. Turn on anything that calls itself Christian, and you're going to begin to feel the pull of bringing everybody together. Not only is it in our churches, but it's in our world. And you can feel that there's this movement now to bring all faiths together. I got news for you. The Bible says there's only one faith. How can there be all faiths? The Bible clearly says there's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Anybody that believes in multiple faiths does not believe in the word of God. Okay, so let's just have all faiths come together. Impossible. There's only one faith. Well, Pastor, does everybody have to do things the way Plantation Baptist Church does? Absolutely not. But everybody has to do things the way God says they're to be done. Okay, so the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, you're going to find that there's more of this macro pool for there to be this coming together. But when Jesus writes about these seven churches and Jesus writes about the church age, the application is to individuals. Pastor, why do you say that? Here's why I say that. Because you as an individual better know what you believe. You have a responsibility as an individual to be born again. If you're born again, say amen. Nobody gets to heaven just because you belong to a church. You must be born again. You as an individual have a responsibility to know what the Bible says. You as an individual need to be so secure in your walk with the Lord that it's able to withstand the burden of what's going on. And you as an individual must take personal responsibility. And so, yes, we have Plantation Baptist Church, and yes, you have churches at a macro level, but really churches are made up of people. And our church will only be as strong together as we are as individuals. You let this church begin to be made up of unsaved people, and it won't be long that our church will be brought about with seduction. Pastor, are unsaved people welcome here? Everybody's welcome at Plantation Baptist Church. But to be a member of our church, you have to be saved and baptized. You start filling the membership roles with unsaved people. The Bible clearly says that the unsaved people, the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. And so you'll begin to feel the seduction of that. That's why you have an individual responsibility. Now here's what Jesus says about you. I know your individual life. I know your individual life. I know your individual life. I know your individual. I know you, Tom. I know everything about you, Tom. I have eyes of fire, feet of brass. I know what you display to people, but I know who you are. You need to understand. This is what Jesus is trying to say. He that hath an ear, who desires to hear what the Lord says, let him hear. So, Pastor, individually, I know the Lord. Individually, I want to honor the Lord. Individually, I want the authority of God in my life. Individually, I want to be found to be pleased. So as an individual, how do I hold fast? Oh, that word hold fast deals with your mental concentration. It deals with a steadfastness. I'll give you some direction. Jesus gave it to the church at Thyatira. If you look at that, go back, if you would, please, to verse number 19. Here's what Jesus said. And I believe when Jesus made this statement, the reality or the truthfulness of this depended upon the individual heart. But here's what he saw inside the church at Thyatira. In verse number 19, he said, I know thy, what class? Thy works, right? So look at verse number 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give. So here's what the Lord Jesus said. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to hold fast. I want you to have mental concentration, mental conception. I don't want you to be defeated in your mind. I need that mind to be filled with the Word of God. I need that mind to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I need your concentration. Then I want you to understand this. I'm not going to put any other burden on you in Thyatira. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay steadfast. And in verse number 26, I want you to keep my works unto the, say that word, end. My works. Pastor, my works would be the Lord Jesus's works. Right. Hold your hand here. Go to the book of John. Let me show you something fascinating. John wrote the book of the Revelation. John wrote a gospel. Look, if you would, please, in John chapter 6. Write this down by verse number 26. That reference, I'll help you with a cross reference there. And let's talk about what the works of God are. This is what Jesus said to the church at Thyatira. He said, I want you to keep my works unto the end. Look, if you would, at John chapter 6, let's pick up verse number 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. That ye what, class? That ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So here's what the Lord is telling the church in Thyatira. He's saying the evidence of an overcomer, the evidence of an individual that has an ear to hear, is that individual has the ability to keep my works unto the end. John, referencing that, knew that when he was asked by the Jews, how do we do the works of God? I get asked this question all the time. Well, what do I have to do to get to heaven? No, the Bible says you have to work to get to heaven. The Bible does not teach works get you to heaven. The Bible says we get to heaven by faith. So Jesus, given he got that question from the Jews, what works must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, I'll tell you what to do. Believe. They didn't want to believe. They didn't want to humble themselves to a position of belief. They somehow wanted to earn or merit the righteousness there. And Jesus is challenging them on that thought. And so when Jesus looks at the church in Thyatira, Jesus says this, he that keepeth my works unto the end. That's what I want you to hold fast. Basically, he's saying this. I want you to believe me to the very end. Believe. The Lord Jesus hates the sin of unbelief. I want to say something here. God, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Don't let me, Lord, be wrong in my communication. If I'm wrong here, stop me. Save my life, but stop me. Present belief is evidence that there is real belief. Present belief is evidence that there has been real belief. Help me, Pastor. Okay, I'll help you exactly. I run into people all the time. You know, Pastor, when I was a kid, I used to believe in the Lord. I used to believe the things of the Bible. I used to believe that direction. But I'm 40 years old now, and I know really what the world is like, and I don't believe those things anymore. No, you never believed them. Don't lose me. I'm driving somewhere. Present belief. Evidence. Of real belief. So I'm running into people all the time. Well, we've changed our belief. Or we no longer believe that way. Well, man, I came into life and God did something here. I ran into a tragedy here. And I used to believe like that, but I no longer believe. I used to believe in the Lord, but I don't believe him. No. If you can stop believing, you never started believing. If you can stop believing, you never started believing. Well, I prayed a prayer. Prayer don't save you. Hell is full of people who prayed a prayer. If you think praying a prayer saved you, you're in big trouble. No, but I walked forward in one of your services. You prayed with me. I don't have the power to save you. If I saved you, you're going to hell. He's speaking to individuals. He's speaking to a church that's been seduced away to commit fornication, to eat things with idols, that have been seduced away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I submit to you that we live in a culture where you take anything called its church, and if you were to look at it through the word of God, you will find that there has been a tremendous seduction that has happened inside our churches. And now you've got people that say, we don't believe that anymore. If you can say you don't believe that anymore, you never started believing that. So here's what Jesus said. I'll put no other burden on you. Just believe unto the end. Believe unto the end. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, would you say amen? Amen. Now there's evidence to that. There's evidence to that. Because normally somebody that says, well, I don't believe anymore, is evidence that they never started believing. And for a little while, they may have tried to muster up some Christianity. But really and truthfully, there's no evidence of Christ in their life. So here's what Jesus says is some evidence to that. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. I know thy works. And he lists them. Thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be, say that word class, more than these. So here's what Jesus says. I want you to hold fast till I come. I want you to keep my works unto the end, which means I don't want the sin of unbelief in your life. And the evidence of that belief is that there's charity in your life, that there's love. There's love for me. There's love for the church. There's love for others. That there is the leadership of love. There is the power of love in your life. And love as the way the Bible says it. Listen, it is the Bible that defines love, not society. So here's another one of our seductions. Can't you see where this is going? How many of our churches have already put their stamp of approval on homosexuality? How many of our world's churches have already said, and the doctrinals and the denominations, they said, no, we understand. We just believe that that's two people who love one another. I got news for you. You don't decide what love is. I don't decide what love is. God decides what love is. I heard a man on CNN who's a homosexual attacking a believer. And he says, what you call, and he gave a word, is really two people expressing affectionate love for one another. And I thought, sir, you don't know the Bible, because the Bible says you're not expressing affectionate love. The Bible calls it lust. So now our churches have been seduced away. And so now, in the pulpits of many churches, we have adopted the world's definition of love. Jesus said, no. You believe me to the end. You believe me to the end, you'll understand charity. Look what else he says. You'll understand service. You know, somebody who believes the Lord, who knows the Lord, someone who's had an ear to hear, they continue serving the Lord. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 3 talks about us being the servants of Christ. There's a service to that. Pastor, as a believer, I find myself, if we're looking at the church in Thyatira and we're looking at it as a description of churches today, what's my responsibility? Well, the Lord Jesus said you're to hold fast. The Lord Jesus says you're to continue in your belief in him. The Lord Jesus says you're to understand the biblical love and the expression of that and the direction of that. You're to serve him. You're to have faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. By the way, one of the evidences that you believe the Lord is that you have faith. Faith is the way you express your belief. There's saving faith. And then there's also a serving faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. If you know that verse to be true in your life, say amen. The just, the righteous live by faith. Pastor, I just can't trust the Lord. Then you don't know the Lord. Pastor, I just can't exercise faith. Well, Jesus said, the just shall live by faith. Faith is completely unnatural to my human nature. Spiritual faith is, but when the Spirit of God lives within me, I find faith to be superly natural in my life. Wonderful. Patience, growth, spiritual growth. The evidence of belief unto the end is the Lord Jesus wants you to spiritually grow. Write down 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. I would ask you, are you seeing spiritual growth in your life? Are the last greater than the first? This is the recognition that Jesus had here. Unto the angel of the church, he wrote, I tell him I know their works. I know their charity, their service, their faith, and their patience, and thy works from the last to be more than the first. Now, you can't get off base on this. And it's one thing to have public works, but have a private situation. Jesus would say to you, I know the motivation of your works. I know why you do what you do. I'm looking into your spiritual heart. That ought to terrify all of us that God knows our motivation. Pastor, help me because I'm overwhelmed. Help me because what I see going on in our culture. Help me because what I see going on in our churches. What does the Lord want me to do? He wants you to hold fast till he comes. He wants you to keep believing, which is evidence of real belief. He wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to be patient with him, and he wants you to know spiritual growth in your life. Well, Pastor, I thought he wanted me to fix the world's problems. Right. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's bring it back down. Let's bring it back down to Plantation Baptist Church. Plantation Baptist Church does not have the right nor the authority to make other churches do what Plantation Baptist Church thinks is right. All we can do is what we know to do. Amen. You as an individual, you can't get caught up in what everybody else is doing. You concentrate on yourself. We can't get caught up in what everybody else is doing. We just concentrate upon ours. I think Joshua had it right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so that gives me wonderful comfort in what's going on, because I know that the Lord knows. I know that the Lord sees. I know the Lord knows everything that's happening in church. He knows everything that's happening in this world. He knows what's happening in me. And praise God, he's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent there. And that he knows my name. He cares for me. I have a personal relationship with the living God. I say unto you, hold fast. Now watch this. I want to finish this. This is powerful. In verse number 26, go back to that. These three statements. But unto you I say, hold fast. And in verse 26, here's the promise. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I, say that word, class, give. Underline that. This is powerful. To him will I give. Now watch what he's going to give to the overcomer. I will give power. That Greek word is authority over the nations. He's quoting here in this next verse from Psalm 2. He's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And he shall rule or shepherd them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. That is so powerful statement. Please underline, as I received of my father. I'm going to hit it in a second. And I will give him the morning star, which I believe is the eternal presence of Christ himself. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, can you not just picture what's going on in this little church? It's the same thing that's happening in our world today. Can't you picture this woman, Jezebel? She has come in. She has stood up as a prophetess, but and she has seduced God's people and has seduced the church away from the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus. And can't you just begin to see how there's, because of that seduction, there's this mass movement that's going away. I know it to be mass because Jesus told them in Thyatira, he said, listen, you're not going to change what they're doing. All you can do is worry about yourself. Can you not imagine, as the movement has been brought over here, they look back on the faithful remnant and they think derogatory. They think, you're old-fashioned. You don't understand the truth. You're living in the yesterdays. You don't understand. And if she's a prophetess or she was an apostle, those two positions received divine revelation. So basically what this woman came in is, this woman came in and said, don't listen to the old truth. I have new truth to give you. If you turn your television on and anybody says they have new truth, they're a false prophet. And so now these folks that have been seduced are just filling their lust with every kind of fornication and sensuality you can imagine. So on Monday through Saturday, they live like hell and then come in on Sunday and think themselves to be spiritually right and think these people to be fools. That's going on in our world today. People that call themselves Christians and that come to churches are living fleshly lives. And they've got people tickling their ears that tell them, well, this is okay. Or when the Bible was written, you know, it was a different way. Or when it comes to the King James Bible, they say, oh, that's just an old-fashioned Bible. Let me give you a new Bible. And now you have Bibles that address every subject the way anybody else does. And so then what begins to happen, and you can understand why the Lord Jesus would be so upset, there begins to arise this superiority. There begins to arise this disdain and this pride. No wonder Jesus said, you tell him I'm coming to kill her and I'm going to kill her children. I don't care any man how far they exalt themselves. Nobody exalts themselves above Jesus Christ. So now, here's this movement that has gone on. And they feel now like they have authority. And they begin now to dictate. And they begin now to make changes. And they begin now to rise to leadership. And they're twisting this church away from the morals, from the mooring of the gospel. They begin to be the ones to be shepherd. They begin to be the ones that begin to direct all of this along those lines. They're the ones that are having this influence. And so now the faithful remnant, they're over here and they feel overwhelmed. They have been intimidated now from within the church, from without the church, with hate speech or with whatever. And so they almost feel like their voice has been silenced. Let me tell you something. I kind of feel like churches like ours, our voice is getting attacked. That's why you're scared out of your mind to say anything at work about the Lord. Oh, Pastor, I work with these people and they do this and I know it's not right with the Lord. I know they're not a Christian, but I would never dare tell them anything about that. Right. Because you've been intimidated. And somehow you believe that Jesus is smaller than them. Or somehow you believe that he can't protect you. And pretty soon, if we have churches filled with people like that, what are we going to have? Amen. So here's what Jesus said to the faithful. I have preached for 30 minutes to get to this one point. I will give you what they want. I will give you what they say they have. They want power. They want authority. Now remember, this seduction and this movement was from the depths of who? Satan. When Satan was created, and he was created in heaven, he exercised his will. And what did Satan want? He wanted the authority and the power of God. And Jesus says, come back, please, chapter 2, verse number 27. The last part of that, even as I received of, say those two words. My Father, what's he talking about there? He's talking about power and authority. And if you went to the book of Matthew, before Jesus ascends, he lets the church know that all power, all authority had been given unto the Lord Jesus. And so there's this attack here and this usurping here that's satanic motivated to have all the imminent power and authority that belongs to God. And Jesus says, I know that's what they want. I know they're exalted that. I know that Satan is seducing churches to that direction. He's bringing them, that seduction is bringing them into unity. Why? Why? Think about this. The whole world will worship one man, and that man's name will be the Antichrist. Who's going to teach the world how to worship? People who've been in Plantation Baptist Church. People who don't know the Lord, but they've been in churches. And when the Antichrist assumes all power and all authority that Satan has given to him, the world will line right up to follow him. Thank God I'm saved. Here's what Jesus said. You want power? You want authority? I'll give it to you. Why can Jesus give it to the people of God? Why will he be able to do that? Because God the Father gave it to him. So I have preached this side. I have preached this. And I got one little question right up here. Do you feel like you are under the authority of Jesus Christ? Do you feel individually the pressure and the weight of the authority of Jesus Christ? Let me give you an example. When I was a little boy, I was one thing when my dad was around and another thing when he was there. When I ran the neighborhood, you know, you used to be able to do that without being molested or raped or murdered. I was my own man. My dad showed up. I immediately humbled to the authority of my dad. Immediately. Is anybody in here that works for me? Anybody in here that works for me? You're in the audience right now. Anybody here that works for me? None of my church people, none of my staff comes to church, do they? Mary Hicks. I love Mary Hicks with all my heart, right? And Jill Cassis. Crude, forgive me, but this is the illustration. I'm their boss. She teaches in the classroom back there. She has complete authority to do whatever she wants to in that classroom. She's the teacher until I come into the room. If I don't want the room blue, I want it purple. We're going to paint it purple. If I want that picture moved over there, she's moving that picture over there. She can put her desk any way she wants to put her desk. If I want to change them, they're getting changed. So Mary Hicks works in the financial office. She has her little office in there. She has her system way she does it. If I want to change it, we're changing it. If I don't like her papers on the right side of her desk, I want her papers on the left side of the desk. You're putting your papers on the left side of the desk, or you're turning your papers in and getting out. I'm the boss. When I show up, you do it my way. Jeff can pick all the music he wants to pick. But if I don't like it, he'll never do it again. Because I'm the boss. When you go to work, you have a boss. You go to work and try to take over the boss. What's going to happen to you? Used to, you got fired for that. Right? Now you file with HR. Now you do whatever. I'm the stinking boss. You're stinking going to do it my way. When I show up, immediately, I have more authority than you do in every facet of what you're involved in. Immediately. Okay. I think you got that illustration. So let me make it home. All authority rests on Jesus Christ. And when he shows up, he's in charge. So here's what I'm asking you, individual. Do you feel the pressure of the authority of Jesus Christ on your life? Or do you just feel like you can do whatever stinking thing you want to do? And when God shows up, you're not in charge. Right. Right. And that's what he's telling the church at Thyatira. He's saying there's been this satanic seduction, this rising of false authority, and they're trying to bring you away from the authority of my word. I'll tell you what, don't stop believing me, because there's going to be a day I'm going to give to you what they want. There's going to be a day you're going to rule and reign with me. I can give you this authority because the Father gave it to me, and I give it to you. Thank God I'm saved. If you feel that way, say amen. So here's the deal, church. Whose authority do you live your life under? Whose authority do you live your life under? To Mary and to Jill, I do love both of you very much. Don't put tax on my seat tomorrow. Pastor, what do we do? The world's gone nuts and the churches aren't far behind, right? Don't stop believing. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hold fast. Love, faith, patience, spiritual growth. I understand there's a movement. You better be strong enough as an individual to know what you believe.